All right, so today we'll be talking about what I believe to be the ABCs of servanthood, or the fundamentals of servanthood. And I think it's fitting, because I don't know if y'all have heard this church called ABC, but definitely didn't steal it from that. Anyways, I'd like to open with Matthew 25, 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in all his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you and the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, then you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did I see you hungry, and when did I feed you? Or thirsty, and give you drink? And when did I see you a stranger, and welcome you? Or naked, and clothe you? And when did we see you sick, or in prison, and come to visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did to the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." And thus says the word of God. Let's open in prayer. Dear Father, thank you for this day that you blessed us with. Thank you for all these folks at Allegan Bible, the ways that you're working in their lives. And thank you for this day and for a chance to speak your word. God, I ask that you would use my mouth as nothing more than a vessel for you, for your words and not mine. In Jesus Christ's holy name, I pray. Amen. So, as Pastor John said, I've been working at Camp Beach Point for the past 8 weeks. It's been just a fantastic experience. It's grown me in many, many ways that I wouldn't have seen coming. It was a lot more difficult than I saw coming, but thankfully God has been there with me every step of the way and given me energy in ways that I wouldn't have had on my own, and I'm so thankful to him for that. But I know all the Camp Beach Point staff here will remember one of the first things that they told us at training was camp is for the campers. We had to do a call and response. I think it was Michelle or our director, Danny, said camp is for the campers. Everyone had to say camp is for the campers. Drilled into our hearts from the beginning. And although it's such a small phrase, and it's just this tiny, tiny phrase, the meaning of it is so large. Camp is for the campers. But take that and put it into your own life and say, my time is for others. My energy is for others. I'm putting you in front of me. I'm putting you above me. So anyway, today we'll be looking at servanthood through the example of Jesus Christ and what I believe to be the fundamentals of servanthood, or the ABCs of servanthood. And I forgot to click through, and now I clicked through too far. Anyways, I believe that the first one is love for God. It not only is it vital to servanthood, but it's vital to every aspect of our life. By show of hands, how many of you think we can make it through life without God? No hands, that's perfect. That's what I would hope that we're all humble enough to say that. But love for God is absolutely vital. Matthew 22, 36 and 37 says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Those are the words of Jesus, which means they're probably pretty good words to remember and live by. Can I get another amen? Anyways, we see that a love for God is absolutely vital. We see how Jesus, in his 30-some years of ministry on earth, we see his love for God and how he showed his love for others. Which brings us to point number B, our love for others. I believe this to be absolutely fundamental in our walk in ministry and our walk in servanthood, as Jesus shows it over and over in his constant daily ministry that you could see in his Gospels, and you could see how Paul talks about it in all his letters. And this really cool thing called the New Testament, if you all have heard of it, I would suggest you read it. Really great way to see how Jesus lived and how we're called to live. But I would say that love for others is something that's commanded. It's not just a suggestion. It's something that God calls us to, And God calls us, tells us that is something that has to be done. John 14, 34 says, I think I had this wrong. There is no John 14, 34. We're going to skip that one. Whoop, my bad. Romans 12, 10 through 13. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Then 13 says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. John 15, 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. But we see that love for others is not just a suggestion, but it is a commandment from Christ. Our daily lives is a commandment from Christ to love others. Our daily lives is a commandment from Christ to say, you are made in the image of God, and that alone is enough for us to love you. That alone is enough for us to treat you with love, treat you with kindness. But we also see love for others displayed by Jesus constantly. You see it in all of his miracles, in his healing the paralytic, in his raising Jairus' daughter from the dead, raising Lazarus, healing the lepers, healing the centurion servant, healing the blind man. You see Jesus in his ministry, in his time in ministry, constantly say, your needs are more important than where I need to be today. I think of the story of Jesus. I don't remember the exact city. There's a whole lot of cities in the New Testament, a lot of them with funny names. But there's at some point where Jesus is on his way to a city. I'm sure he has a time that he plans to be there. And yet, he stops for the woman on the well. He stops and says that your need is higher than mine. Jesus constantly, constantly displays it. And we could see it in Romans 5, 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus displays the ultimate form of love in that while we despised God, while we hated God, while we sinned against God daily, and we chose to push him away and live without him, Christ said, I do not care. I still will die for you because I love you. I don't see the things that you do to me. I see the love that I can show for you. And Christ chose to give up his life in an extremely painful death for each and every single one of us. And it's our sins that held Christ up on that cross. My sin held Christ on that cross. Your sin held Christ on that cross. He could have come down at any time, and he chose not to because he chose to demonstrate what love for others truly looks like. John 13, 12. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garment and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also are to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done for you. Jesus gives us an example, not just in washing feet. Thankfully, there are ways to serve people other than touching their feet, which, praise God, because I'm not too huge on that. But Christ gives us the ultimate example on how to serve others, and that's to humble yourself and put them first. So we see how Jesus constantly demonstrated love for others. In John 14, 12, he says, truly, truly, I say unto you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Which brings us to our next fundamental, our C, serving others. So Christ to read 14:12 again. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. So we just looked at some examples of how Jesus chose to serve others, how Jesus chose to put others first, how Jesus chose to say that your time is worth more than mine, or your wants are worth more than my wants. So we're called to live in the exact same way. So the simple question is, why serve? And although it is a simple question, there's plenty in the Bible to back up our need to serve, even more than just following what Jesus did, even though that's plenty of a reason. In Mark 8:34, it says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my name's sake and for the gospel will save it. For what does a man profit to gain the world but to forfeit his soul? So 34, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So Jesus demonstrates, as we looked at in the last point, Jesus demonstrates what serving others truly looks like, putting them above yourself. But then in this verse, he calls us that if we are to follow him, we will follow how he demonstrated. Excuse me. I would also go to say that serving others is a form of worshiping God. How many of you all have heard of Billy Graham? Billy Graham says, the highest form of worship is the worship of unselfish Christian service. So not only when we serve, not only is it to the benefit of others, but it's to the benefit of ourselves in the way that we are serving God and worshiping God and choosing to say, God, you have called me into this. God, you have called me to love others, to serve others. Here is me following that calling and choosing to serve others in this way. I'd also go on to say that there are rewards for servanthood, for serving others, whether we'll see them on this earth or not. Proverbs 11:24-25 says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give, and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and one who waters himself will be watered. And one who waters will himself be watered. So we see that serving others, that giving parts of ourselves to others, giving our time, our energy, our effort, will not only benefit them, but we will grow. It says, one who gives freely will grow all the richer. One who brings blessings will be enriched. We see that not just from this passage, but from other passages, such as Matthew 23:12. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So whether we'll see them on earth or not, whether we'll see them on our time here, which in the grand scheme of things, is such a small glimpse of what eternity looks like. Whether we'll see these gifts here, these rewards here, we will see them one day in heaven as Christ will pay back everything that we've given to others. I would also say that serving others reflects our love towards God. 1 John 4:8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. We show our love by serving others. There's this cycle that, as I pondered what I was going to talk about in this sermon, this thought kept on popping in my head of the fundamentals of servanthood, which is, number one, love for God, which we saw in point number one. But it will prompt a love for others. As we looked at all these verses that talked about our love for God, it springs forth a joy and love for others as Jesus loved others, as God chooses to love others. Whoops. Then we see point number two, love for others will prompt serving others. We saw how Jesus loved others, We saw how Jesus lived for others. To name the examples again, in his miracles of healing the paralytic, raising Jairus' daughter, raising Lazarus, healing lepers, healing the centurion's servant, healing the blind man, and many more that I didn't mention. We see that Jesus, because of his love for others, chooses to serve others. And I would go to say that serving others proves our love for God. Anyways, to return to the original text in Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another as shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to the least of my brothers, or to the least of these brothers, you did it to me. But then there's a second part that I didn't read at the beginning. Then he'll say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and we did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So, I would encourage you guys to go home and read Matthew 25:31 through 46 and come up with what you think it means to you and your life. I'll tell you what I think it means to me. One day, Jesus is coming back. We all know that. Pastor John's been in Revelations for how many weeks now? One day, Jesus is coming back. One day, we'll stand before the throne and we'll be separated to his right and his left. One day, we will receive judgment for our actions. We'll receive judgment for whether we have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, that he has wiped away our sins by the death that he had on the cross. But our service to others, our love for others, will show and will prove that relationship that we have with Christ. It will prove that Christ has redeemed us, that Christ has sanctified us and changed us. Because, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, if you take out one piece of this circle, you're taking out all the pieces. It is impossible to truly love others without truly loving God. It is impossible to live a life of service to others without first loving them. The first step of saying, I'm putting you above me, is choosing to love them, even when that may be difficult. As God chose to love us, even when it was difficult, even when we pushed him away, even when we spat in his face, he chased us down, and he waited for us to come back to him. Your service for others will prove your love for God. Because like I said, it's a full circle. Love for God will prompt love for others. Love for others will prompt serving others. And serving others will prove our love for God. So, to reiterate what I said, one day we are all going to stand in front of God, and we're all going to be judged about whether we have a personal relationship with Jesus. And I would argue that what shows a personal relationship with Jesus is our love and service towards others. So if you, here today, realize Christ has called you to servanthood, which we can see over and over in the Bible, throughout not just how Jesus lived, throughout Paul's letters, throughout Proverbs, we are called to love and serve others. If you feel that you're not there yet, you're not where you want to be with your service, I'd encourage you to change that today. Pastor John handed around that clipboard about signing up for ministry. What's stopping you from going and putting your name down? Is it time? Is it you have kids? Which is fair. I'm sure all you parents know. Kids take a lot of time and energy. They take constant love, right? They take constant attention. They take constant forgiveness, which kind of reminds me of our relationship with Christ. Constant love, forgiveness, patience. I would go on to say, no one here can honestly say you do not have time to serve. You do not have time to minister, right? So no matter what age you are, there's a way to serve, whether it be here, whether it be at a summer camp, a really cool one called Camp Beach Point. If you're a teen, go ahead and ask Jordan or Addie about the leader in training program at Camp Beach Point. If you know an instrument, talk to the people here, Pastor Drew or Pastor John, about assisting in the worship team. Servanthood doesn't have to be laying up away your life and going across the ocean to a whole new country to be a missionary. There are practical ways for us all to serve, for us all to aid in Christ's ministry to the least of these, as Matthew puts it. So I would encourage you, take some time in prayer. Take some time in solitude and silence. Take some time in humility and ask yourself and pray and ask God, am I where I need to be in my servanthood? Am I where I need to be in my love for others? Am I putting others first? Or am I choosing to live for myself? Am I where I need to be in my love for God? Because I'll tell you guys, love for God is vital to everything. Just like all three of these is vital to our walk with God. So in closing, I ask you guys all to pray about it. Don't just take it from me. Pray about it. Get in your word, get in your sword. And find out if you're where you want to be in servanthood. I thought I was. I thought I was doing pretty well. Not to talk about myself, but to talk about how God pushed me to give up my summer to go to Beach Point. It was a big sacrifice. As all these guys know, it's a huge sacrifice. And yet, I can tell you guys, by the mercies of God, by God's goodness, I am more fulfilled, I am more joyful, I am more happy than I have ever been because of the time that I sacrificed for others. And I don't say that to talk about me, but to talk about how God worked through my service and through all of their service here, all of y'all's service, everyone's service here, God works through. One final time, I urge all of you to go home and pray, because there's no such thing as too much prayer. Go home and pray. Are you at where you need to be in servanthood, in your service, in your love for others, and in your love for God? I'm going to pray now in closing. Dear Father, thank you for this day that you blessed us with. Thank you for everyone up here. in Allegan, Michigan. Thank you for everyone at this church. God, I pray that you would work in each and every single one of our hearts here, God, to point out to us where we are not serving, where we are living for ourselves, where we are living for others. God, I pray that you would push every single person here to want to put others above ourselves, to want to serve others, to want to love others. God, I pray for everyone in this congregation that you would bless the rest of their week, the rest of their day, and the rest of their life. In Jesus Christ's holy name, I pray. Amen.